Where are we going after we die? That's one of the main questions every human being asks. And there's over 4,000 religions in the world offering a plethora of ideas concerning the answers. Well, we're going to compare Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Taoism, and Christianity and find out what these religions have to say. And what did Jesus teach about this subject? Find out on this episode of Revealing the True Light.
There are so many religions in the world. How are they similar and how are they different? We need to know. The culturally correct view is to blend them all together as equally relevant and legitimate. But is that true? Prior to becoming a follower of Jesus, your host, Mike Shreve, was an avid seeker of truth, exploring many paths to spirituality. One of his passions now is to help bridge the gap so that others can discover the true light, which gives light to everyone entering the world. Now, here's Mike Shreve, revealing the true light.
What's going to happen to us when we die? That's a question that echoes in the hearts of all the human beings on this planet, I would dare to say. Do we cease to exist, or is there a soul that lives on after death? Is there only one life, or thousands of incarnations by which the soul evolves to perfection? There's a lot of ideas. There's over 4,000 religions in the world, according to some estimates. And so there's a plethora of ideas concerning the answers to these questions I'm asking. And I believe it's a very, very important subject. I know that it was a near-death experience at the age of 18 that drove me to pursue truth. I dropped out of college to study under an Indian guru. I made up my mind I was going to passionately pursue answers. I wanted to know what was on the other side of death. And so nothing else seemed to matter. I just got it in my mind I had to find God and I had to find truth. Thank God for the day when I was born again and found the reality of Jesus as my source of salvation. But I want to explore several different worldviews. We're going to cover Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Taoism, and Christianity. And we're going to see what these different religions have to say about the afterlife. First, let's go to Buddhism. Now, by the way, the word Buddhism means enlightenment because the word Buddha means enlightenment. And we need to be enlightened on this particular idea. However, Buddha had some ideas he subscribed to that are far different than my conclusions at this point. Buddha taught that men have no souls, and that's a doctrine called anatta. No souls. Instead, there are five aggregates called skandhas that disassemble at death. And these skandhas make up the human personality. Number one, physical form. Number two, feelings. Number three, perception. Number four, dispositions or mental formations. And number five, consciousness. And according to Buddha, these are impermanent and only temporarily connected to each other. And in the process of reincarnation, no soul passes from one body to the next. Rather, these aggregates or skandhas are disassembled at death, and others are reformed to form a new living being. And so there's no continuation of personality at all. And that was Buddha's concept. Now, concerning death and the journey after death, I think we need to dig a little bit deeper into Buddhist beliefs. First of all, the ultimate goal of a Buddhist is nirvana. And the word nirvana means blowing out, like the blowing out of a candle. And it doesn't mean cessation of existence. It means a recognition that there's no self that exists anyway, and it just all disassembles at death. However, there is something that passes from one incarnation to the next, and it's been described as an unconscious disposition, an unconscious disposition. Now, that particular aspect, that feature that is within a human being can reincarnate on six different realms or six principal realms of rebirth on 31 planes of existence. Think of that. That's Buddhist teaching. And those planes are, or rather those six principal realms of rebirth are, number one, gods. They can be reincarnated as a deity. Number two, demigods. Number three, humans. Number four, animals. Number five, hungry ghosts, which are beings who are tortured with continual hunger and thirst. Or that unconscious disposition can be reincarnated as a hell being, or one an entity that is confined to various hells that are described in Buddhism. And then at the summit of the universe, there are also four realms of purely mental rebirth without form, according to Buddhist teaching. Now, there's some really unique ideas found in Tibetan Buddhism. In fact, there's a very popular book called The Tibetan Book of the Dead that many New Agers read back when I was involved in that in 1970. And it teaches that there's an interval of 49 days between death and rebirth. And after 7 days in this intermediate bardo state, 42 peaceful deities surround the deceased in a circular pattern referred to as a mandala. And then after another 7 days, this mandala dissolves and is replaced by 58 wrathful deities with hideous appearances, blood-drinking, flesh-eating, demonic-like beings on this journey from one incarnation to the next. That sounds frightening and disturbing, doesn't it? And that's unique to Tibetan Buddhism. So anyway, those are some of the ideas you find in that religion. Let's move on and discover what Hinduism believes. Now, in Hinduism, there's a dominant idea that this essence of life, which is a soul in Hinduism, is called Atman, A-T-M-A-N, and that it has 8,400,000 existences prior to human incarnation. Think of that, coming in the form of the lowest form of life and graduating from one level to the next through plants, various types of plants, more developed plants, and then animals of different forms. And then finally, after 8,400,000 existences, a human being. And of course, once you become a human being, something called karma kicks into gear, and your next rebirth is determined by the karma you build up in that human life. And it can be either negative or positive karma. And I personally have done deep studies on the idea of karma, and I believe it's an impossible concept. Why do I say impossible? Because it's impossible to pay off a karmic debt, because the payoff of a karmic debt involves more karmic debt in the process, and then more. For instance, one person can be a thief that robs 100 people. Well, he has to be robbed 100 times, but then there has to be born into the world robbers of the robbers that robbed him 100 times. And then they incur karmic debt. And then you have to have robbers of the robbers of the robber. Can you see how it's an impossible to solve scenario that just mushrooms out of control? I don't believe in karma and reincarnation. Now, I know it's a popular word and a lot of people throw it around, but they don't really know the depth of what it means. Well, once you become a human being in Hinduism, then I have read some teachings that you will be incarnated in this world, reincarnated over 1,000,000 times until you become a perfected human being. and you achieve samadhi, which is God consciousness. And for some Hindus, not all, but those that believe in Advaita Vedanta Hinduism, for some Hindus, that means a conscious realization that you are God, which as a Christian, I believe, is the antithesis of the truth. It's as far away from truth as you can get. One thing about reincarnation, though, that I want to bring out is that it demolishes the value of the individual, the importance of the individual. An individual life is a discardable distraction along the journey toward ultimate God realization, God consciousness. But in Christianity, in biblical Christianity, the individual is of exceptional importance. Every single soul is valuable to God. And that personality endures forever. Because Jesus said, those who are redeemed in the end will sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Those Old Testament personalities will be recognizable and identifiable as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We won't see someone else that was incarnated in a totally different personality, in a totally different name, that once was in the body known as Abraham. That's not biblical doctrine. But anyway, that's how Hindus view it. And some Hindu people, and New Agers as well, because the New Age draws much of its beliefs from Hindu doctrines, but some Hindus, some New Agers believe that the soul can shuttle back and forth from a human existence to an animal existence if negative karma requires that. But then many, like, say, for instance, the Theosophical Society and others, believe that reincarnation is always progressive. It always evolves to a more developed human being until the person becomes perfected. Now, that's just a very shallow view of the very detailed amount of information that is available within Hindu literature concerning the afterlife. Let's go to Islam. In Islam, you find a belief that there are two judgments. There's a judgment for each individual when he or she dies, determining what their eternal destiny is going to be. And if it's hell, they will experience a semblance of what hell will be like in advance while in the grave. The soul remains in the grave. Or if it's heaven, there'll be a foretaste of the paradise joy of heaven while awaiting the second judgment, which will take place at the end of the age, and that's when the resurrection will take place. So it draws some of its beliefs from a biblical worldview, but it is a little bit different, especially in the idea of having a conscious experience of either hell or heaven in the grave, in a soulish state, awaiting the final judgment. Let's move on to Taoism. Now, Taoism is a very interesting religion. In Taoism, human beings are taught to have 10 souls. Think of that, 10 souls, and those 10 souls divide at death. And there are three Han souls, and the Han souls, which is the yang aspect, the positive aspect, ascend to a heavenly state, supposedly, and the Po souls, that's P-O, the Po souls are the yin aspect of the being, the person, and those seven yin souls or Po souls descend to the earth. And so there's a division between the Han souls and the Po souls, and actually it's two souls, but they're a combination. Or it's one Po soul made up of seven, or one Han soul made up of three, but they divide at death. And then there's a lot of detailed information about what happens to those souls that you can get into if you get my book In Search of the True Light. It's in very detailed information that's offered on each religion concerning these beliefs. But I thought that was the most unique thing to bring out about Taoism. And they do have a belief in an ultimate existence, a heavenly kind of existence for those who are deserving of it. All right, what about Christianity? And let's focus on this right now, because this is most important, what Jesus taught. And there are camps within Christianity that have differences of opinion. I have some very dear friends in the Seventh-day Adventist Church that believe that the soul will sleep in the grave at death. And they've got some scriptural references that lend some support to that idea. For instance, when Jesus was on his way to the grave of Lazarus, he told his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go to awake him out of his sleep." And over again, when kings died in the Old Testament, it says they slept with their fathers. And so you find that wording quite often in the Bible. However, I believe that's a way of smoothing over the anguish of saying that someone died. The word "died" just sounds too intense, too final. And so now in our culture, our day, we say so-and-so passed away. Well, they didn't pass away. That implies dissolving out of existence. But it's a smoother and softer way of saying they died. Well, biblically, I believe in cultures and centuries past, millenniums past, their way of softly referring to the concept of death was to say that person is now asleep. That person is now asleep. And of course, not everyone used that terminology. But Seventh-day Adventists teach that, yes, the soul sleeps in the grave. However, I believe there's plenty of biblical information that refutes that. In fact, I've done a podcast just on that concept. You might want to look it up. I'll give you a couple of reasons. For instance, when Jesus died, he did not sleep. His soul was not asleep with his body in the tomb. The Bible said he was quickened by the Spirit by which he went and preached to the captive spirits in prison. And I believe those were souls in the underworld, in Sheol, that heard him preach. I do believe he preached in the realm of Abraham's bosom. And they were conscious. They were waiting for him. They listened to the gospel. The Bible said he preached the gospel to the dead, that they might live according to God in the Spirit, but be judged according to men in the flesh. Well, that would not be possible if the doctrine of soul sleep was true, because they could not consciously listen to the gospel being preached. Neither could Jesus consciously present the gospel. They would all be in an unconscious kind of state in the grave. So that is a refutal to me of that doctrine. And there's other things scripturally, like the parable, or it's not really a parable. Jesus said there was a certain rich man. And the whole story about the rich man and Lazarus talks about how they died and went to another location. The rich man went to hell, and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. And what about Paul's statement? Paul said that he would rather be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And he said that's far better. Well, I don't think he was talking about being asleep in the grave. He wanted to experience paradise. And Jesus, I believe, promised that to the dying thief. He said, "Truly this day you will be with me in paradise." He did not say your soul is going to sleep with your body for hundreds of years until I come back again, and then you'll have an opportunity to experience paradise. So we've got to measure all of these different things and weigh them out to see what true doctrine is, what right doctrine is. If we're lovers of God and lovers of truth, we will humbly do that. And Jesus, by the way, did not teach reincarnation. I know people refer to what he said about John the Baptist. to try and prove that Jesus taught reincarnation, but that has a completely different interpretation. And I've gone into that in previous podcasts. Maybe I'll do another one just on that story. But Jesus taught resurrection. And there is a huge difference between reincarnation and resurrection. In reincarnation, the bodies are discarded at the end of each life, never to be retrieved. But in resurrection, God takes a portion of the substance that once was a physical body and changes it at the coming of the Lord, when Jesus descends from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ rise, and we which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. John said, when we see him, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. Glorified bodies. We will put off mortality and put on immortality and shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father in a glorified state. That surpasses anything that any other religion I've mentioned offers doctrinally. But I believe in what Jesus taught, not just because I call myself a quote-unquote Christian, but because I've met the author of the Bible. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. He dwells in my heart, and I know that what he taught is true. So there you have it. What's going to happen to us when we die? Well, you can choose Buddhism that says you cease to exist as a personal being, Hinduism that says you've got over a million incarnations before you can reach perfection, Islam, you can be in the grave awaiting the judgment, but your eternal salvation depends on how good you've been, on your human works. Taoism, well, that's another story altogether. But Christianity, you can claim eternal life because of the crucifixion, because of the resurrection, because of what Jesus did to purchase your redemption. And that's my answer. Where are we going when we die? I'm going to the bosom of my Father. I'm going to a heavenly paradise state that exceeds my ability to describe. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love him.
Thank you for joining Mike Shreve today on Revealing the True Light. And thank you for opening your mind and your heart to the truth. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, cpnshows.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss new episodes. You can explore the beliefs of many world religions more deeply by ordering Mike Shreve's book titled In Search of the True Light. We also invite you to visit our website, thetruelight.net, and sign up to be part of our global internet family.